It's such a pleasure for us to be here. Also such an honor. My wife Cody actually lived here a few years. So when I said I go to Belfast, she said, I'm coming. No way I could go here without her. So she feels at home, but I also have a good time. He said, I'll tell a little bit about myself, and he was so true. It's going to be a very little bit about me. We have a pretty successful ministry in Holland, and that's not because of us. I can assure you, and if you doubt, ask my wife. It's not because of me that we have a successful ministry. It's all because of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this morning what touches my heart about the Lord. And I hope it'll also touch your heart. Because our Lord Jesus, He's just incredible. He is all glory. He is all loving. He is all wonderful. And there's not enough words to describe it. But yet, God gave the word to give us the opportunity to look into His face and see who He is. And I want to bless you guys, because I don't know how it is here in Northern Ireland, but we Dutchies, we all live in the mind. We all want to reason it. We all want to understand it. We want to control it. But that doesn't work. We need our hearts to see Jesus. You cannot see Jesus with your understanding. It starts with the heart, and then the understanding can grasp a bit. So we're going to use words, but I bless you that you open your heart, that you will receive it there. By the way, my excuses for my Dutch English, because that's not too good. Okay, I couldn't hear that, so, but they make fun of you, I think. Oh, it's better than your Dutch. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Well, I asked someone to read the verses, because otherwise it's all so foreign to you. So when we have Bible verses, someone else will be reading it. Let's go to the first one, which is actually about Christmas.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Yes, I want you to remember, because at the end of the sermon I'm going to get back at it. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. There's a sign here. Because all of us know this verse. We all know, we heard it. It's in every nativity story. But there's a sign here. And you know what's also interesting? It ends with goodwill toward men. But this was said to shepherds, which were in the shepherd's field in Bethlehem. There they were shepherding. And then this is said to them. But it's like heaven opens. Like, guys, something happened here. You will not believe it, what's happening here. Something is happening on the earth which is absolutely incredible. But they already knew God, they thought. It was in Israel. It was in the promised land. They had a God. They had the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They thought they were familiar with God. But then heaven opens and something new starts to sound. But first we're going to look how did they know God. How were they familiar with God? Because actually, that's how most Christians these days know Him. And I can tell you, that's not enough if you know God like that. So we go to the next verses.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field.
Okay, so this is Deuteronomy 28, and when they went into the promised land, they got like instruction. This is how we're going to do it. And this part is saying, okay, you're ready to go in? Okay, when you're in there, you need to listen to God and you need to do His commands. And if you do that, by the way, are we in competition with the party down here in the... It's all-time competition. Yesterday, people went to the new Star Wars movie. And then I said, today it has to be nicer than that. I found something. They say in the movie, may the force be with you. Well, we have something better. It's not may, it's for sure. And it's the true force. The true force be with you. Amen? But so how they knew God was, okay, if you listen to Him and if you keep all His commands, He'll be blessing you. And this list go on. It starts with, blessed be thou in the city, blessed be thou in the field. But everything is blessed. Blessed be your cattle, blessed be whatever you can think of. This goes on and on and on till verse 12 or 13 with blessing, blessing. If people come close to you, they'll fear you. No way they start a war with you. And you will not be lending money, you will be borrowing money. It's incredible, what a list of blessings. So you could say, but that's goodwill towards man. It's not bad to have a God like that. He leads you to a promised land. But then after the blessing lines, it goes on. And that part we also read.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store.
And this goes on even more verses. Every disease comes by. Every form of relationship, it goes wrong. So this is how they knew God. Okay, if you are, you could say these days, if you're a good Christian, you'll have blessings in your life. If you're not such a good Christian, but then not such a good. If you read it carefully, it says, to observe, to do all His commands. And the first part, where it was about the blessings, it says, if you do all He says and He commands, oh my goodness. And you see that curse and blessing is also about the city. This is also about the city of Belfast. But then there's that evening in the shepherd fields. And then heaven opens and something new comes. Not this system. We often think this is goodwill towards man because this all sounds reasonable. But there's something new being introduced. And it comes through Jesus. It's not just Jesus. A whole something new comes through Jesus. And we're going to look into that. What was that? So we go fast forward, but we have to realize this is how most people know God. If you go out there and you ask Christians or non-Christians, what's the deal with God? Yeah, you have to do the right stuff for Him. If you're a Christian, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, and then He'll bless you. So also we often observe each other, and if someone has a problem, what do we think? Whoa, that's probably not such a good guy or girl. Probably a sinner. Now we go fast forward through Jesus' life. And we go to a situation where He travels from Jerusalem to Galilee. And normally they did that. They went through the Jordan and then at the other side of the river because they didn't want to go through Samaria. Because that was in between Jerusalem and Galilee, and every Jew bypassed that. But not Jesus. One day it says He had to go through Samaria. And then we go into a story, which is actually, it's crazy. It's puzzling. And it's with a simple woman. So they go into, down. Actually, it's always up to Jerusalem, because Galilee is low and Jerusalem is high, so they go down into Samaria, and then they come close to a town, Shechem. And there's a well there, and Jesus is tired, so they stop there. And the disciples, they go into the town to get some food. And then a woman shows up. And we also start reading a bit from that story.
Now Jacob's well was there. Therefore Jesus, being tired from his journey, sat on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Let me have a drink." For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food.
Okay, we also do the next one from 7.
Then the Samaritan woman asked him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Answering, Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
So now what's the situation? There's a well, woman there, Jesus there, and Jesus says, he looks at her. Imagine, it's Jesus. We often think, okay, Jesus from the Bible. We approach the Lord like someone who is up there far away. But, you know, it's our Lord. You know him? Our Lord Jesus. And he's sitting there. So a woman comes there and there's a well. And he looks at her. And you know how the Lord, when he looks at people, something happening with him. He cannot look at people without something doing with his heart. And he says to her, "Would you give me some water?" And she thinks, "Huh? But this is a Jew, and they don't go that well. They really don't go that well." But by the way, the Samaritans also had the first 5 books of the Bible. They had the books of Moses, so they also lived in that religious system, like doing good is getting blessed, doing bad, not so nice life, cursed life. And then she says, she's puzzled. She thinks, "Huh? It's a Jew talking to me? That's strange." And then he starts talking about the gift of, if you knew the gift of God. So they thought they knew the gift of God. No, we know. We're in the country. If we behave well, we're blessed. And if it goes wrong, we're cursed. And he starts talking about if you knew the gift of God. And funny enough, most Christians, or who call themselves Christians these days, don't know the gift of God. And then this awkward conversation about water. And he says, "But if you knew the gift of God," and actually says, "If you knew me, you would ask me water." And now she completely loses it. She thinks, sorry, Jews and Samaritans, they don't have conversation. But now you tell me to ask you for something? That's not done. That a man, and she knows by now, this is a man of stature. This is not just a guy. This is a worthy man. And I could ask him and he would give me water? That's not done. Women serve men. And all the brothers said, there was one sister who suddenly changed into a brother. She answered as well. That was not too good. Actually, it was too good, but he would give you living water. And then she says, but it's really a strange conversation. She gets all puzzled. First, Jew and Samaritan doesn't go together. Now, woman who can ask a man doesn't work. So she's all puzzled. She asks, but you have nothing to draw. And are you bigger than Jacob who gave us this well? And then Jesus says to her, she says, do you have any other water? And then he says, if I would give you this water, the water from the well, you would thirst again. And it's true. Whenever we drink something from the earth, we'll be thirsty again. He says, but if you would get the water I have available for you, you would never thirst again. You know, you remember he started talking about if you knew the gift of God. And then he says, I have something for you. If you would get that, you would never thirst again. Now, anyone interested? Does everyone have a certain hunger in his life, a certain crave? I would like more love. I would like more this. I would like better that. I don't want to be so unfulfilled. It's like I'm always living and there should be more, but it's hard to get there. I would like to be more blessed. That's actually what this conversation is about. And then she says, like all of us, Lord, give me that water. Don't you have that? That you think like, oh Lord, if there would be something which really fulfills, then I'm not walking around anymore. Yeah, I would like to accomplish that. Until that time, I'm not so happy. Is this all there is to marriage? Didn't the Lord say that there would be good wine, then not so good wine because we're all drunk, so we don't taste it anymore. And then the best wine comes. That's what marriage should be about. Marriage should be getting better and better. These Northern Irish people, they look at me like I'm sort changed into some kind of fish. But you know, that's what Jesus is talking about. Because she says, give me that water, Lord. Like all of us actually would say, if we would be there sitting with Jesus and he offers something which gives true fulfillment. Oh, give me that water, Lord. And then he does something which shocks her. He says, go get your husband. Until the time, the conversation was still about safe, you know, about water and being a friendly man. Why would you even want to talk to me? And then he has something to offer me. I don't feel minor being a woman. I don't feel low in the presence of this man. Wow, what's going on? But then he suddenly says, go get your husband. keep face. I don't have a husband. And Jesus turns to her and says, no, that's right. You said that well. Because you have had five husbands and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. You said it very well. Five times married, five times failure, and it probably was so bad that now the guy she's living with now, she didn't even bother to marry him anymore. And then Jesus sitting there with her. So she thinks, can you imagine the inside of a woman like that? You know, it says she was there at the sixth hour. No one is there at the sixth hour because that's like the hottest moment of the day in Israel. So she went there on her own when the sun was high. Why? She wanted to meet no one. You know, in these times, in these days, that's not about here, but women would gather around the well and they would talk. Our women don't do stuff like that, you know, talk about. But imagine being the woman who's five times married and the other ones behaving properly, only having one husband. How would they talk about the girl who failed five times and now is just living with a guy? So she didn't like to be in the crowd. So she went there on a moment of the day that she was sure no one else would show up there. But then Jesus shows up and he confronts her with five times being married. But it doesn't come like a confrontation. Yet she tries to get out of it. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. Women are very wise, you know. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. And she says, we think we should worship on this mountain. But you Jews say you should worship in Israel. What a conversation. Talking about, give me water. You have no bucket, Jesus. Hey, but if you would get water, you wouldn't get thirsty again. Let me have it. Five husbands. Worship on a mountain. So let's read a bit. Let's see Jesus' response.
But the time is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he.
Remember when heaven was open and the shepherds were informed. What was sounding? today the Messiah has come. The Christ is born. And here he is at a well with a woman of bad stature. And she talks about worship on which mountain. And he says, the time has come now that we start worshiping in spirit and in truth. I think that went a bit over her head. So she starts about the Messiah. We need someone to save us and to explain us how all this works, because I don't really get it. And then Jesus says to her, I think a bit different than what we just heard, because then you hear the woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who called Christ, when he comes. And Jesus said to her, I will speak to you, I'm he. How's my Belfast accent? It's for the poor, very poor. What sounds like what? Lim? Indian. Thank you, Lord, for receiving tongues I didn't have till now. But let's go back. This is Jesus. This is our Lord and Savior sitting there with that woman. And that woman starts talking about the Messiah because she's perceiving he's a prophet. But then he starts about worshiping, and this guy knows more and more. And she says, oh yeah, we need a Messiah to explain us all things. And then he looks her in the eyes and he says, I who speak to you am he. A Jew doesn't speak to a Samaritan. A woman cannot ask something from a man. And he knows. And you know what her response is? That Jesus speaks this into her life. Because we're reading words. But imagine Jesus coming to you, speaking, looking you into the eye and say, I who speak to you am he, the Messiah, the Savior. You know, after this, conversation over. It's done. It's over. I who speak to you. But she didn't expect if the Messiah would come. He would explain a lot. But for sure he wouldn't come to her. She's 5 times married and she's living together with the guy. But Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. I am the Savior, I am the Messiah. And believe it or not, this explained it all to her. Now she knew what it would be to be a worshiper in spirit and in truth. And 99% of the people look at me like, yeah, we're with you. But you don't understand anything of it. Why would that do the job? Now, we read the next part. It really gets interesting now.
Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised that he talked with the woman, but no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And the people left the town and went to see him.
Okay, the disciples of the Lord come and they think, religious as they are, what is he talking to that woman? He shouldn't be talking to a woman. Lord, what are you doing now? Again, something we cannot put in the newspaper to advertise you. What? But no one dares to, because the Lord is the Lord. And you see, she leaves. She leaves the water. She's gone. She's gone after the words, I who am speaking to you am he. She's gone. And she goes into town. And the town which she slipped out to get water, hoping no one would see her, because the eyes were normally on her like, oh, bad woman. And she goes into the town. And you would expect her to go, there's such a wonderful man and he gives you a good feeling. But she says the first words, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Which was normally not so nice in town to be confronted with. Everything she ever did. And she goes into town and her testimony is, come, you have to see this guy. He knows everything we did. And the response of the town should be, Yeah, we also know. But there is something with her. Something has changed in her, which is incredible. She met her Savior. She met Messiah. She met the Christ, and he spoke into her. Because if we think, well, it started a bit about water, but it was just Jesus' way to get her trapped and to get her into a conversation. And she dives a bit away after the confrontation with the husband and the man she's living with. But he still ends up saying, I am still talking to you. I'm still talking to you. I'm still talking to you. For I'm your Savior. I am He. And you know what she realizes? Is there anyone, let's first look at us. Anyone here who has some stuff in his or her life that you think not so proud of? Oh, I see 10 hands. So the rest of the crowd is pretty saved. You, well done. Well done, Pastor. You have a great church. Glorious. Not much stuff going on. Let me ask a different. Is there stuff in your life, or has there been stuff in your life which you wouldn't put on Facebook? Oh, still, some are still doubting. Okay, I change it. It's not just written words which should be. Now it has to come with pictures and video, all your messy stuff. Like also the stuff you do when you're alone, you know? We put video on it, and now we put it on Facebook. That everyone knows what you ever did and what's still going on in your life. Why don't we put that on Facebook? If I look at my wife's Facebook, it's all happy. You see the kids only healthy in the pictures. You never see them when they are in bed and dripping stuff and all the... Why don't we do that? I'll tell you why. Because we think if someone would know that about me, we wonder, would they still like me? Would we still be friends on Facebook? Would they still like my pictures when I put something nice? We're actually all busy. How are we really? And I have an example which I'm not allowed to use from my wife. And since the Bible says, husbands, submit to your wives. Okay. I'm going to use the example anyway. You know, yesterday we visited Andrew and Penny at their house. So we were allowed in, but we were only allowed in the first room. I thought. Because I thought that it's a bit like in our house. When we get visitors, the house need to be... If I am on the phone and tell someone, hey, come by, it's fine, come for a coffee, you know, we need to talk. She says, what? Did you invite anyone? To the house, clean up, carpet up, stuff under it, whatever you can think of. I said, honey, why do you do that? Why do you do that? And it's always like, I wanted to be nice for them. I wanted to be nice for the visitors. I can tell you that's a huge lie. You know why? Because you actually think if they see it's a mess, they probably think I'm a bad housewife. They might even think you're a bad wife. If it's rubbish from the kids, they think, wow, what did they spoil their kids? You know, pastors are also giving stuff to their kids. And then people think, is that all from church money? So we hide the expensive stuff. But you know, at the end of the day, you're afraid that they think something from you. You know? And before Jesus said to her, I'm the Messiah, he wanted to make sure that she knew that he knew everything about her. Because this is Jesus. Jesus knows everything about you. Everything you ever did, he knows it all. And then normally it sounded in the church, so woo, you better change your life or else. No, it's the world upside down. This is the big secret. He knows everything about you, And he still wants you. He is still nuts about you. He still accepts you. He says, I'm still the one talking to you. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I know everything you did. And he didn't even say to the woman before, you know what we would do as pastors? You know, we also enter into lives like that, at least in Holland, you know. I never had one. 5 times married, but 3 times we already have. There's no problem. We have that in Holland. So, and then when they live together, you know, you want to be a good testimony of the church. And so if before she would leave, you would say, do you pray about your current situation? It's political correct, huh? Pray about it. You don't want to be condemning, so you don't want to say. But Jesus, the disciples come, and he knows what they think. And he thinks, oh my goodness, guys, you still didn't get it. I came to save the world. And the world needed a savior. And why does the world need a savior? Because all of us have stuff we cannot put on Facebook. Some I see, yeah, that's true. That's true. Lots of stuff. Still. Every day. Maybe even now. Maybe you think that stupid Dutch guy. Hey, Jesus still loves you. I think it's great faith to have a Dutch over to minister. It's so fun to get to know you guys. You know, I also we start to get to know Andrew and Penny, but then I have to come over to minister. So I start looking a bit on the net and I listen to a sermon. So it's so funny. Then he starts talking about the grace of God. I think, did you guys find oil? The grace of God. And then we have an abundance of it, he says. He said, and we're all covered with it. Imagine what the Dutch is hearing. You guys find oil? Abundance of it. And you're all covered with it. What kind of church do you picture? And then he starts preaching on Psalm 91, a psalm of protection. I think, well, that's wise. If the Dutch is coming, you better have the church protected. So, but then I saw the verses. A thousand may fall at your side, a 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. I thought, that's William Wallace. When I kept looking, I thought, no, Mel Gibson didn't wear glasses. And then I found out, oh, flip, that's Scotland. Man, I cannot mix up that stuff. So Braveheart is the other aisle. Where were we? This was just distraction to get you. Sweet people, Church of Christ, our Lord is just out of this world amazing. And he's so thoughtful that before he sent the woman home, he let her know, I know everything about you, everything you ever did. And I keep on breathing, I love you, but I love you, but I love you, but I love you. I still talk to you. Now I know everything, I'm still talking to you. I'm he, I'm your Messiah, I'm your Savior. And it's also for you. The Lord knows everything about you, everything you ever did, and he's still talking to you. He says, you're still accepted. I love you anyway. And he doesn't say to the woman before she takes off with the disciples coming, can we talk about that guy you're living with now? Maybe you pray about it. No, she just goes. And what is she turned into after having really met her Messiah, looking him in the eye and knowing it's good? What has become of her? Someone who goes to other people, which she first fears, and she face off, masks off. You have to come and see this man. You see, he's no longer a Jew. This man, wouldn't he be the Christ? He knows everything I ever did, and he still accepts me. You know, she turned into a worshiper in spirit and in truth. This is what this is. And you know what happens? Then you want to go back to this Savior. You want to go back to that person. and you want to have other ones coming with you, come, you have to see this man, and you have to experience what this man does to your inside. And then religion says, yeah, but that's too easy. She first has to go home and kick out the guy and repent and whatever he has and say, I'll never do that again, Lord. But do you think she was happy living that life? Think she was a happy woman? Of course not. You know, divorced people are torn apart themselves often. And then we come saying how bad they were. They already know how bad they were. And yes, she was with 5 husbands, then the 6th guy in her life, and then she met the 7th. Fullness. And she came to fulfillment. And this guy she wants to go back to. And he'll be not, when he gets to know her, pushing her away. I was talking this morning with Cody about it, because I never preach this. So I'm also talking what I'm all seeing in it. I said, imagine, you know, we all, you know what we all do? We all do it. Once we get to know someone we like, we put up a mask. We put up a face. Well, because we want the person to like us. And we actually all think, if they really knew, I had it with God, if she really knows who I am, would she be taking me? So we hide our stuff. And she also probably did that 5 times, hiding, and the guy thinking, wow, what a woman. And then she get into the relationship, and then the guy gets to know the girl. She older man here, don't know what you're talking about. So she's been probably been rejected. You know what even could have been? That she's been raised by a father who was always mocking the Jews and not loving his daughter. That's how she grew up so whop, that she ended up in a life like that. And the Lord all knows that. You know, and at one point she's even forgotten he's a Jew. Wow, this is the Christ. This is the Savior. And she becomes an evangelist. She comes back to him. And you know what? This is also the secret. Because if I say now, everything you ever did, and I add to it everything you're ever going to do, all your stuff, it's fine. Jesus loves you. If you truly get it. If you hear, it's not my voice. It's not a Dutch speaking. This is the word from the Lord. Everything you ever did, but also everything you're ever going to do, because you'll keep on having weaknesses, it's always good with Jesus. If you really hear that from him, you know what your heart turns into? Someone who wants to be with him. Go back to him. Go back to him when you're wrong. And what says the Bible when you see the Lord in his glory? You are changed into his image. So the secret is not to try to change us or try to change each other. The secret is to get all heart that we want to be with the Lord, knowing we're never rejected. Because the only thing that can really change us is not better behavior, because we'll fall away anyway. We need to get a heart that we want to be with the Lord. And she even pulls others. Anyone curious if the guy is still in her house? Oh, man. This doesn't fit my pastoral view on how we should run the church. I have a problem when stuff like this happens. Yeah, but the good name of the message, the good name of the church, good example for the kids, and that's all true, and it all should be. But if we get our hearts really, if we get our eyes really look into the eyes of Jesus and have him saying to you, I'm still talking to you, and I'm your Savior. And the people left town. So she was so transformed by meeting Jesus that they didn't look at her like, yeah, you with the story again. You found another man. Come and see a man. She was not known for being really good with men. Come see a man. And the people left town and went to see him. What came forth from this woman? They didn't say, oh, you have already number 7? Or, we also know what you ever did. This was the Messiah working out in a person's heart. And it's no longer, again, about men, women, Samaritan, Jews. It's not about that anymore. It's about Jesus and him accepting us. even knowing all we did. Amazing, huh? And this is your Jesus today for you. Whatever you don't want to put on Facebook, he still knows it. And you're still welcome. And you know, to make it right, I'm going to help you, because we go back to the old system. Let's see the image. Because in the schedule, it was this. If you're righteous, okay, this could be the first one. If you're righteous, all commandments perfectly kept, listening to him when he says it, then you have all possible blessing. I made them like smaller, you know, blessed in the city, blessed in... But you can also define it as you're blessed in who you are, in what you have, in what you do, all relationships successful, under your roof blessed, outside your home, all blessed, totally blessed. But if you're unrighteous, not perfect in all commandments and efforts, you have all possible curse, failure everywhere, work is not rewarded, all diseases, failed in relationships, robbed in every possible way, outside and in your home. That was the old system. Now let's see if Jesus does this rightfully. Because according to this pattern, what should be with the woman? She should be cursed. And actually she was cursed till she met Christ. Because she was there in the heat of the day. That's a cursed life. Not being in a good relationship. You think the relationship with the sixth guy was a happy one? Of course not. You're destroyed by life. There's like no future. She was cursed in every possible way. And that's rightfully so, according. And now we're going to see what's goodwill towards man. What that means when the Christ comes, I will be saying glory to God, goodwill towards man. What's the goodwill of God? Okay. Jesus, who was righteous, can we agree on that? Look at me first. Can we agree that Jesus was righteous? But what he was doing with the woman, he was actually blessing her. It seems like Jesus doesn't fit in the system. But then we look at the cross. Was Jesus righteous at the cross? And did he get every possible curse? Yeah, we often only know he died for our sins. Yeah, but the sin is punished with curse. Unrighteousness is rewarded with curse. And all the curse, so all the punishments for all your sin, for all your life, has been at the cross. Jesus carried the curse. He took away the curse. So although he was righteous and he should have been blessed, he ended up, although he was righteous, with the curse. And now the next image is really interesting. That's why this church is called Exchange Church. Although we are unrighteous, we are not perfect in all commandments and efforts. Do I have the right crowd? I qualify. If you think a pastor is more holy than any normal other people, no way. We're just men with all our failures, all our weaknesses. And it's not just sin, you know, just for you. You know, the Lord sees all your unbelief. But you know what he says? I'm talking to you. I'm your Savior. All your fears, you know, that's also sin. All your weaknesses, all whatever you can think of. Is, you know, what we call sin is often defined by the law, but so much more things are sin. Being in fear is sin. Having doubts. Did anyone worry this week about anything? Well, that's not faith, so it's sin. According to that, we should be lived a cursed life. But you know what the Lord says? If you really get to meet me, and you know that I know all of that, and you still have a relationship with me, you live with me, you say, wow, Lord Jesus, amazing. You took my curse while you were righteous. And through that exchange, while we are unrighteous, he left us all the blessings. Amen. This is his inheritance. This was his idea. Does this come to pass for the woman? Was the woman unrighteous? Yeah. Did he reveal it? Yeah. Was it a problem? No. Did she end up blessed? Yes. And that's because of the cross. Because that's why I make it a picture. What do you see in this? This is the cross. This is the exchange. this is incredible. We really have a savior. And the system is destroyed. It's messed up. It doesn't work anymore. Ooh, you're not really happy, or you're having your party in quietness in your inside. Oh, you already knew it all, of course. Wow, that's, of course, you have a great pastor. You'll be ready for a blessed life. Now we go to the sign. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves. What was the sign? You will see a baby, a toddler, put in linen, lying in a manger. A manger is something sheep eat from. You know, in the shepherd's field, where the shepherds got the good news, the shepherd fields, the flock was raised for the temple service. So in Bethlehem, they raised all the flock to be sacrificed in the house of God. And there, in that area, Jesus was lying in a manger. He would become the food for the sheep. His life, his exchange, that's your food. And what he left for us was his robes of righteousness, his linen. Linen stands for righteousness. He leaves us his righteousness and his blessed inheritance on this earth, which he should have. He got the curse, we got the blessings. And he left us his righteousness. We can dress up with that. That was the sign. There's the sign. You will see a person in linen lying in a manger. Person gone, lifted up high. That was the first blessing. Huh? You will be lifted above. And with him, we are lifted above. Cool? And you know, I think the Lord said it first to the shepherds, because I think they had a heartache, because a shepherd normally loves his flock. But if you always raise sheep to be sent to the temple to be slaughtered, that were the shepherds there in Bethlehem. I've been at the fields. I've seen it all. And that's going to stop. That was good news for them. This is going to stop. Jesus is our food. His righteousness are our clothes. And therefore now you are blessed. That leaves the question, why do we still see so much curse? I think the woman also had curse in her life. And I also am still living a life which I know the Lord wants to bless it more. But the answer is, if I keep coming back to him, if I keep on looking him in the eyes, and I let him change my heart more and more and more and more, every time I meet him, I'm transformed into his image. We go from glory to glory. And we all have a level of blessedness in our lives. But we should be going from, hey, that's allowed to be rising. And even this town, last verse, for this town, I looked it up, you have peace walls. But that's actually a man-made solution. And praise the Lord that it leads to less fighting. But the Lord has better plans for this town. The Lord has better plans for this country. You know what the Lord wants? You know, our duchies, we're famous for being proud. We know, I come to tell you. And you know, we're humbled and we are allowed everywhere to come and serve. Our biggest weakness with this message becomes our strength. This nation, especially this town, is known for division, is known for hostility. But you know, with this message, what you can be known for? Unity. And that's one of the biggest needs of the church. So if this message starts to get root here more and more, and the church starts to grow by this message, by this glory of Jesus, by this Jesus, the world will not be looking to you, seeing what's all going wrong, and thinking, oh, they'll be coming to get the glory Jesus brought to you, the inheritance he had for you, the inheritance he had for here. Why not? Jesus is big. He has great plans. And you know what he does with walls? For he is our peace. Not a wall is our peace. He is our peace. He is peace for the Jew and the Samaritan. Amen? But he's also peace for the Catholic and the Protestant. Everything where there's separation, everywhere where there's thought in, we need to rise above that. Jesus was above that. Difference between a separation between man and wife, hostility, generations, whatever you can think of. He is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile one and has broken down the wall of hostility that separated us. You know, Jesus doesn't put a wall for peace. He breaks down walls for peace. But then you get true peace. And that's the Jesus we see in the life of that woman. He knows all we ever did. And if that gets established in you and me, in us, and we go out there, and that may take a while, but it's not a problem. You know, in Holland, we're busy now for 9 years, and now we start to have the fruit, bits here and there, bits and pieces, with this message promises. So now with our Christmas services, we have over 1,000 new people in church, guests in Holland. No one goes to church. Churches run empty. And we have 1,000 new coming in with Christmas. You know, and all these small signs that we see. Well, we know now we have 60 million people in Holland. 1,000 is nothing. There's just a small drip. Jesus has more. Jesus has more. But we need to be transformed into his image. How he is, what he breathes, how full of love and acceptance and no condemnation he is. And we don't have to fear, yeah, but we're going to abuse it. We're going to, no. You'll only be changed into his image if you know, whatever I did, whatever I'm doing, I can always go to him. And I go, and even will be bringing others. We all change into his image. So the more loving you become, the more not judging, the more accepting, the more the Spirit will rise in you. And there will be not a strange response from people. We expect that, but that's the human old system. But it doesn't work. You know, you're all called to be a walking blessing. You get so blessed in your own life. Curse being decreasing factor. Blessings being increasing factor. You're so blessed that you cannot go outside and be a blessing to others. This church is going to be a huge blessing to the environment, but also to other churches. We've been raised to be a blessing to other churches. I don't come to take money. We come to bring money. Honestly, I don't take a wage from here or so to speak. I told Andrew yesterday, I spoke with my board and we said, oh, we're going to send a huge amount to this church. We're going to be a blessing. Because whoever meets us, and when we have a certain glory, we will be a blessing. And that's the life ahead of you. If you live with Jesus, like we see the woman live with him, you're so blessed, you can't help but blessing others.